3 John, beginning at verse 9. This is God's holy word. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. That's as far as we'll read this morning in this part of God's holy word. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. You know, it's a common saying, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Sometimes we meet someone and we're so impressed by that person that we just want to be like them. I heard a man on the radio this past week who, as a boy, met Bobby Hull, the hockey player. I think he was 9 or 10 when he met him. And he said from that moment on, whenever he played hockey on the outdoor rink, he was Bobby Hull. He wore a Bobby Hull sweater. He played with a stick that Bobby Hull had given him. He wanted to be just like Bobby Hull. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Now, as Christians, we are not to flatter others, but we are called to imitate. We are called to imitate. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul said, "Follow my example, imitate me as I imitate Christ." There is a good and godly imitation that is to be part of the Christian life. And John speaks that way in this third letter, not in terms of a particular individual, but in a very general way in verse 11, where he says, "Dear friend," speaking to Gaius, writing to Gaius, "do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God." And along with that general call to imitate what is good and not to imitate what is evil, in 3 John, the Spirit of God, through the apostle, has given us personal examples of both good to follow and imitate, and evil not to follow, not to imitate. We've considered this man Gaius, who walked in the truth and who walked in love. And so when Paul says imitate what is good, we can learn from Gaius. And we can pray, "Lord, make me more like Gaius in the ways, the good things that are revealed about him in 3 John. But John also, as we've heard this morning in verses 9 and 10, went on to identify a man named Diotrephes. And boys and girls, Diotrephes is someone in the Bible not to imitate. He is a name, he is a person that falls into the category in verse 11 of "do not imitate what is evil." He's a bad example. Now, we don't know who Diotrephes was. We don't know what congregation he belonged to, whether it was Gaius's or another congregation. We don't know if he had a position of authority or an office in the church. Likely he did, as we'll see. We don't know beyond his name really any particular identifying characteristics of Diotrephes. But like it was said of some unknown soldiers who had perished once in a war, we don't know who they were, but we know what they were. We can say the same of Diotrephes. We don't know who he was, but we know what he was. When the Apostle John identifies Diotrephes, in the original Greek, he does it in a very vivid way. The NIV says, Diotrephes, who loves to be first. It gives his name and then it gives a characteristic of him. But really in the Greek, it's much more vivid than that. Literally, what John wrote was, but the loving to be first, Diotrephes. John uses that characteristic of Diotrephes, that hard attitude of Diotrephes, not just as a description of the man, but as his name. That's what he's called in John's mind. The, and the Greek can do this the way that the grammar works, the loving to be first, Diotrephes. That's his name. What a name to have memorialized in Scripture for every generation of the church. The loving to be first, Diotrephes. And of course, when John calls Diotrephes by that name, he puts his finger on the heart issue, the root problem in the life of this man, Diotrephes. And it's the sin of pride. Pride, which is the evil of evils. We heard from Isaiah 14 this morning. Words speaking about the king of Babylon and the pride that filled his heart. That's the immediate context of those words. Though throughout the history of the church, those words have been attributed also to Satan. The King James Version, Lucifer, is used there as the translation, King James Morning Star. Lucifer just means the light bearer, the light carrier. Many commentators have said this is probably not an allegory about Satan. Tertullian linked this verse in this passage in Isaiah 14 with the passage in Luke 10:18. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and depending on how you read that, could be read back into Isaiah 14. And Lucifer has been a name of the devil, rightly or wrongly, probably ever since. But whether or not this is an allegory of Satan, it is certainly an appropriate allusion to Satan. Who is full of pride, the primordial sin, the evil of evils. We know that Satan tempted Adam and Eve with what? In a word, it was with pride. It was appealing to their to pride. You will be like God. Do not imitate what is evil, John says immediately after speaking of Diotrephes, because this is what this is. This is evil in Diotrephes' heart. Diotrephes loved to be first. First loving. It's a compound word in the original. He may have had a position of authority in the church. Seems like he did with the things that he was doing, even though he was doing them sinfully. That position of authority, though, is not what is wrong in and of itself. That's not what's going on here. Oh, he was an elder. That was the problem. We shouldn't have elders. No, Paul appointed elders in every church. It's not authority. That's the issue. We have a blessing, though, even in that context, in the biblical understanding of church government as Presbyterian, that the church is to be ruled by a plurality of elders, that there are elders in the church, but they are a plurality of elders, and there isn't one that has ultimate authority over another. That's the blessing of Presbyterian church government, as opposed to other church governments where there could be someone who has that singular authority, who is first in that way. Elders in a congregation share that authority. One elder doesn't have more authority over another. And those elders in any particular session are under the authority of other elders in presbytery. And this is a beautiful safeguard that God has given to the church in Presbyterian, biblical Presbyterian church government to guard against potential sins of the heart like we see in Diotrephes. It's no guarantee against it, but it's a safeguard against it, and it's a blessing to the church. It was not his office, though, that was the problem for Diotrephes, if he had one. It was his heart. His heart was the problem. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? They were not to exercise authority like the world. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first. See, is that what you want? It's so convicting. Because he speaks and he appeals to the very sin that was bubbling up in their heart. He knew their thoughts. You want to be first? That enough should have convicted them. You want to be first? Okay. Here's how you can be first. You be the servant of all. You be the slave of all. You want to be great? Then become the least. You want to be first? Then be content to be last. And that's just what Diotrephes didn't want to do. He loved to be first. And how did the heart of Diotrephes express itself in words and in deeds? And this is what John writes about. Well, first we see he was a man who showed that in his heart he was full of pride and he loved to be first because he was someone who ignored apostolic authority. He ignored apostolic authority. Verse 9, I wrote to the church. We don't know what that letter was, but John had written to the church and Diotrephes wanted nothing to do with it. He loves to be first. How does that show itself? He wanted nothing to do with the letter that John wrote as an apostle. Loving to be first in Diotrephes' heart led to him ignoring apostolic authority. It led to him speaking evil. I will call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously about us. He put himself first. He not only ignored what John was saying, but he vilified John and the others who were with him. He said he did not receive us. He would speak evilly and maliciously about John, even as an apostle of Christ. We see that his loving to be first meant that he didn't welcome gospel missionaries. And this is what we saw with Gaius. This is the context of these brothers. He refuses to welcome the brothers. Gospel missionaries, gospel preachers and teachers are coming, and he doesn't want anything to do with them. That's an expression of his loving to be first. And then last, fourthly, we see that he is even excommunicating. He seemed to have the power to do so, or he was very strong personality that had that kind of sway, excommunicating those who didn't listen to him or went against his wishes. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. It's not only something that he's doing himself, but he's forcing his ways on others around him. And these four things are the expressions we see in 3 John of what it was for Diotrephes to be a loving to be first man. They were the expressions of a proud heart in his particular context and situation. But these four things, beloved, also provide for us good tests to examine our own hearts. Because as we see Diotrephes here in Scripture, we know that this is the living Word of God, and it's given for us here today as much as it was given for Gaius 2,000 years ago. To ask ourselves the question, do I have a loving to be first heart? Is this in my heart? Do I have a me-first mindset? An evil heart that is not to be imitated, that does not know God or see God? Well, we can then take these four things and apply them in a more general way as questions for our own lives. Do I have a loving to be first heart, a me first heart? Well, we have to ask, do I submit to Scripture? Do I submit to Scripture? Diotrephes received a letter from John and he wanted nothing to do with it. Well, how do we apply that in a more general way? John was an apostle. The apostles gave us Scripture. If I'm someone who in whole or in part rejects the Bible, I am a loving to be first kind of person. I am putting myself first, and my own thoughts, my own opinions, my own wishes, and my own desires are over and above the Word of God. My thinking first, God's Word second, or third, or fourth, or wherever it comes. But if it's not in the first place, it's in the wrong place. A loving to be first heart does not submit to Scripture, to the Word of God. Do you humble yourself before the Bible? Or do you set yourself above it? Do you judge it? Do you want nothing to do with parts of the Scripture or all of the Scripture? If that's true of you, you have a loving to be first heart. Secondly, do you speak evil of others? Do you speak evil of others? One of the most common ways of puffing yourself up is by tearing others down. Now, there is a place in this context for examining the teaching and the conduct of others, to even be critical of things that are being taught and said, especially as an overseer in the church. In 2 John, John says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. That's not evil speaking. That's not malicious gossip. That's speaking the truth in love. That's not what Diotrephes was doing. John calls it malicious gossip, evil words, with no basis in the truth. I received a letter this past week that was chock full of evil speaking. 20 or 30 pages, evil speaking. This is what happens when people have a loving to be first heart. And they look around at others, and they just, in an evil way, in a malicious way, tear them down. Whenever we open our mouths, it is to be governed by the Word of God, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If you are not thinking of the other person in the words that you speak, of their good and their blessing, of loving them, then you are speaking out of a loving to be first heart. It says, I want to say this because I want to say it. Third, do you welcome believers into your life? These preachers were coming, and Diotrephes refused to welcome them. Well, we can apply that very formally. When people come to this congregation, if we're doing that, we might have a loving to be first spirit in our congregation that would say, no one can speak the truth of God to you but what comes out of this pulpit and this mouth. I love when I hear people reading good Christian literature, listening to good gospel preaching. If we're cutting ourselves off from that, or if we're suspicious of that or jealous of that, that is a loving to be first heart. But how does it come more personally? Do you welcome believers into your life, especially Christian friends who will speak the truth in love to you? These Christians were coming. They were coming to speak the truth in love to this congregation, and Diotrephes refused to welcome them, didn't want to hear from them. Do you welcome that, or do you isolate yourself so that you can more comfortably have things your way? Do you isolate yourself in some way just because you have your reasons and you want it that way? And you're isolating yourself, you're pulling away from the fellowship, from the people of God, from the church of Christ in one way or another. That could be a sign of a loving to be first heart. And lastly, what did Diotrephes do? Not satisfied with that, he stops those who want to welcome the brothers and puts them out of the church. Do you force your opinions and your desires on people around you? If they don't go along with you, do you exclude them? Do you find ways to punish them, to get rid of them in your life? That's an expression of a loving to be first heart. We need to pray that as we see these things in the life of Diotrephes, we would expand them out into their general principles. And then pray that the Spirit would come and bring them back upon our own lives, that we would examine ourselves in light of them. But of course, you know, as I thought about these four things, as we hear these things that Diotrephes did, one of the surest signs that you have a heart like Diotrephes is if, as I have been speaking about these things and lifting them out of Scripture, one of the surest signs that you do have a heart like Diotrephes is as we have been hearing these things, you've been thinking about other people that do these things and not yourself. That's what a loving to be first heart does. You will hear these things. Oh, yeah, not submitting to Scripture. Well, I know someone that's not doing that. Oh, yes, speaking evilly, gossiping. Well, I know someone that's doing that, and they shouldn't be doing that, and these other things. A loving to be first heart does that. It can spend hours and hours thinking of how this text and how this sermon applies to other people. And never coming to the place of before God on your knees saying, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Beloved boys and girls, Diotrephes, what a name. You wouldn't want that name. But you know, we're all born into this world little Diotrepheses. Diotrephes walked in love, but it was love of himself. He loved to be first. Love of self. That's what sin is. That's what sin promotes. Self-love. Self-centeredness. Self-righteousness, self, self, self. Martin Luther said, more than all the cardinals and popes of Rome, I fear the Pope self. Our first love is our love to be first. Our first love is our love to be first. Whether that expresses itself in a way that's easy to see, like some power-hungry, proud tyrant, or whether our love to be first means that we just quietly do what we want to do, ignoring God, ignoring His Word, ignoring other people, you can live a thoroughly self-oriented life, a loving to be first life, in a way that's just very quiet, that doesn't come across to people as proud, but you're doing exactly what you want to do. And you have no concern for what God calls you to in His Word. You don't love other people. You love yourself. And that love of self, putting yourself first, is dictating everything that you're doing. That's how we're born into this world. There's only one cure to the sin, the disease of pride. I read a commentator this past week, and I can't remember if he was speaking about pride, but the remedy stuck with me, and it certainly applies to pride. There's only one way to kill it. It needs to be drowned in the blood of Christ. It needs to be drowned in the blood of Christ. It won't do just to have the bad example of Diotrephes and the good example of Gaius and say, now come on, live like Gaius, don't be like Diotrephes. You can't do it. You can't. Self is too strong. That's not the gospel. Just to say, don't live like Diotrephes. I can have all the good examples of someone who can play golf and all the bad examples of someone who can't play golf, and I still can't play golf. Because I'm not a golfer. What we need is not this good example or that bad example. We need the work of Jesus Christ for us. The work of Jesus Christ that stands in such vivid and stark opposition and antithesis to those words in Isaiah 14. Where the king of Babylon says, I will ascend to the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I will be God in my life. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. And then we think of Christ. Diotrephes loved to be first. That word there, the root word of loves to be first, is the word for preeminence, sometimes translated preeminence. The only other time I think that it's used in the New Testament is in Colossians 1:18 when it speaks of Christ. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Christ is first. Christ is first. You see the sin then of Diotrephes who loves to be first. It's antichrist. It's pride. Christ is first. And why is Christ first? Why does he get to be first? What did he do? Well, Jesus is first because he is first and because he didn't love to be first. He didn't love to be first. He loved his Father in heaven and he loved his people. He is first. He's God. Philippians 2, who being in very nature God. But then listen, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. What's the penalty and what's the consequence in Isaiah 14 for the person who says, I will be my own God? You will be brought down to the pit. What did Jesus do for his people? He suffered the wrath of God. He suffered the pit. He suffered hell for us. But then verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. It's in Jesus Christ that we have the forgiveness and the righteousness that we need. Our first love must not be a love to be first, but a love of Christ and a faith in Christ. Was Diotrephes a believer? If he was, he was in a bad way. He was in a bad way. He was acting like Satan. Remember what Jesus said to Peter on one occasion? Get behind me, Satan. Even true believers sometimes can live like the devil. But notice how graciously John speaks. Diotrephes loves to be first. He's doing all these things. And what does John say? If I come, I will call attention to what he's doing. He doesn't say he's going to come to destroy him, even to excommunicate him. He's going to call attention to what he's doing. I think there's grace in that. There's mercy in that. He's giving even Diotrephes time for confession, time for repentance. And it's the same with us today. God deals with us graciously. Has the Spirit been calling attention to you? Has the Spirit been calling attention to what you've been doing, to what may be in your heart? By God's grace in the gospel, by His Spirit, may we be able to say, along with the Apostle Paul, those who by nature and sin love to be first, that we would say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Remember Isaiah 14, I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this. But in the gospel, what does Paul say? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the answer to pride, the gospel. And then through faith in Christ, we are called to imitate that which is good. And so give evidence that we are really born of God and know God and see God, as John says, in the beauty and glory of His holy character. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble.